best because he's good to us. I want to be good to him. He has blessed me. He has blessed you. And I want to bless him. And the Bible says with the same measure you measure out, it should be measured to you again the same. And I want to make sure that I give good gifts to him because he gives good gifts to me. And I want to do my best to pray for him because he prays for us. And he gives us strength. Amen. I love it when out of nowhere that my kids will come up to me and they'll just say, "Dad, I love you." And at first, I'm like, "What do you want?" But I love it when they just say, I just love you. And they give me a hug or whatever that is. And I love that. And how much more does our Heavenly Father love when you just... You're not asking for anything. You're not, you know, asking for a miracle or a blessing or a breakthrough or, "God, I need you to come through." But you're just saying, "God, I just want you to know I love you today." And I guarantee you, as an earthly dad, I know how that feels. But as a heavenly father, he went to the cross for you. And he loves to hear from you. That's why he said in his word that if you'll draw nigh to him, he'll draw nigh to you. And that's a faithful promise. And thank God for that. Amen. We talked about last Wednesday, and we talked about the following Wednesday as well, and an incredible, incredible lesson, seven men and two natures. And Brother David Gray, Pastor David Gray, he's no longer living, but he put this together back in 1951, and we're thankful that we're still reaping the benefits of this. It's seven men and the two natures. And if we can really learn this, we can truly have the secret and we can get the victory and over the devil and the adversary, and we can have power with God. Do you realize that you can have power with God? Do you realize the apostles and the disciples, they had power with God? And you can have the same power and the same anointing and the same Holy Ghost that they had. And so what an incredible blessing that is. Last Wednesday, we talked about the natural man. And then we talked about the repented man. And then we were excited. And we started talking about the born again man. And how many's been born again in this house? Amen. That's the nature that God has grafted us in, because we know the natural man produced the works of the flesh, and it wasn't a great sight. But when we became born again, he cut off the works of the flesh, and then he grafted a new nature in us. And that's the born again man. And I'm glad for that, because when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, Nicodemus asked the Lord, "What must I do to inherit the kingdom of God?" And we know in John 3, verses 3 through 5, that Jesus said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." So it's not what Abundant Life Center it's what we think, but it's what the scripture says. And Nicodemus said in verse 4, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into the mother's womb and be born?" I guarantee you that Jesus has a sense of humor, because I believe that Nicodemus was really taking the Lord literally. And the Lord says, "You got to be born again." And then it just puzzled Nicodemus. He's like, "Well, when a man's old, can he be born again? How can he enter into his mother's womb?" Now, I don't know about you. I was probably, I think I was 9 pounds, 8 ounces when I was born. My mother's 5 foot. And I think she even wears her size is, her shoe size is 5 as well. So she's not a really big lady. And if I could just kind of, you know, take it what Nicodemus was saying, that this guy here, a lot bigger than 9 pounds, 8 ounces, there's no way that I can fit into a 5 foot woman's frame. And the Lord, I guarantee you, he probably at least had a smile on his face, because he just answered and said, "Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." So being born again is more than just repentance. Being born again, and we thank God for repentance, because repentance, it just dies out, right? It's not, "Sorry we were caught," but it's dying out. And after we've died out and we become buried with him in baptism, we don't stay down there. Now, there's some people I'd like to hold down and hold under. Just kidding. No, I'm not. No, I am kidding. But when I bring them down and when I bring them up, we come up a new creature in Christ Jesus. That's the incredible thing about being born again, that the old man is buried and the new man rises again. That's what it's talking about, being born again of the water. And then all of a sudden, the Spirit of God begins to dwell this earthen body, this earthen vessel. How many's ever prayed a prayer, God, I want you to speak to me? You ever prayed that prayer? Can I tell you, every time you speak in tongues, God speaks to you. And he speaks through you. You ought to put your shoulders back. You ought to raise your head up high. And tomorrow be happy. Get a big old smile. Thank you, Brother Eli. Big old smile on your face, big as Dallas. And people say, why are you happy? Because God's speaking to me. God spoke to me. And he spoke through me. And they're like, what? What have you been drinking? I've been drinking on wine. But not the wine you think, not the vino you get at the store. I've been drinking on living wine. And that living wine is over 2,000 years old. And when that living wine gets on the inside of me, I begin to speak in an unknown tongue. As the Spirit of God gives the utterance, I get to be born again, all over again. How incredible that is, to be born again. And what an incredible thing that we can be a part of. And so here is the gospel. Paul said it like this when he understood it, the born again man. He said in Romans 1:16, he said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Colossians 3:10 says, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So the new nature is grafted in the nature of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's pretty cool. The works of the flesh is cut off, and now the new nature is grafted in. So we are walking around. That's why we call each other brothers and sisters. Because when you're buried with him in baptism, you take on his name. And your last name, though we like it's Lizardo, but it's really no longer Lizardo. It's Jesus Christ. Every one of you that's been born of that water has been now had the new nature applied and grafted into you. And your last name's Jesus Christ. That's why we call each other brother. And that's why we call each other sister. Thank God for that. Colossians 1:27 says this, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That is our hope. Hope in Jesus. Colossians 3:9 says this, lie not one to another, seeing that ye put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is received in knowledge after him that created him. That is what we received in the Holy Ghost. Romans 14:17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Acts 1:8 says this, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Ephesians 4:22 says this, that ye put off concerning the former conversations of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. That was the works of the flesh. That was the natural man. And so when you put on Christ, we are now to put off the former conversations of the old man. Too many people try to pick up the old man. I don't want that old man. That old man's no good. That old man smells. That old man stinks. That old man don't talk right, don't look right, don't act right. I don't want that old man because he walks after the deceitful lust. But I want to be renewed in the spirit of our minds, that we put on what? The new man, which is after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. I'm going to tell you, I've said it before, that the secret of holiness is holiness in secret. But the only way you can get holiness and the only way you can get righteousness, it's not in your own flesh. Because the Bible says our flesh is as filthy rags. But you get Christ dwelling on the inside, he turns that unrighteous vessel into a holy vessel. You don't get holy without God. You get God to get holy. People think, well, if I could just, you know, wear my sleeve lengths right, and I could just no longer cut my hair, and I could no longer put on the old man, and I could just walk after this, I'm holy. You can't get holy by yourself. You can't get good by yourself. But the only way you get good and the only way you get holy is you got to put on Christ. And when you put on Christ, it's his righteousness and what? True holiness. I want God's true holiness to abide in me. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is what? He's a new creature. Thank God for a do-over. You don't get a lot of do-overs in life, but you get a do-over in being born again. Hallelujah. He's a new creature. Old things are what? Passed away. Quit digging up my grave. Quit digging up my past. I know my past wasn't good. I know I did some bad stuff. I know I said things I shouldn't have said. But listen, it's under the blood. Quit trying to get a shovel and dig it up. Because I don't want to dig up your grave. It may scare me. You know what I'm saying? You're always saying, well, you know, you were worse and you did this and you did that. You were just, you know what? If we opened up your closet of your past, there wouldn't be many people that even sit next to you. But thank God it's now buried. Thank God it's now the past. And I don't want to bring up the past anymore, because the old things are passed away. And behold, all things have become new. Praise God for that. If God never does anything else for you again, you can rejoice over the fact that I ain't what I used to be. That old man is not dwelling in here anymore. Ain't nobody got time for that. I've got God dwelling on the inside of me. And when you truly get that turned around and that revelation, you go on your job and they're like, I can't put my finger to it, but there's something different about you. Did you get a new hairstyle? Did you get new clothes? No, I put on Jesus. I took off the works of the flesh and I put on God. When you put on God and you get God where he needs to be on the inside, it changes everything about you. It changes the whole outward man. You start smiling more. You start being happier more. You start loving everybody. You stop talking about everybody. You stop getting involved in drama, and you're now talking about Jesus and all the good things that he's done in your life. That old nature, that old natural man is now gone. He's passed away, and now I become a new babe in Christ. Thank God for that. Thank God for a new life. Amen. So therefore then, the born again man. Now listen, the born again man still, even though you're born again, you're still going to have two natures. This is what we have to deal with. So thank God that he took the natural man and we became a repentant man and we became born again. Thank God that he cut off the works of the flesh and now he's grafted in us a new creature. We're the born again man. But listen, honey, you're still gonna live in your flesh. Even though we buried the old man and the past is buried, still you walk in the flesh. And so the born again man now has two natures. Two natures walking. You have the natural man and you have the spiritual man. There's that war. It's literally, we talk about it, the little red devil and the angel on each shoulder. That's why sometimes some of you, you'll get convicted about listening to something or watching something or being around some people or hearing somebody's conversation or going where you don't need to go or being involved in something. You're like, I don't think this is right. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You get what we call checks in the spirit. And there's been many people that have got their phone and they said, Pastor, I just need to talk to you. Okay? I'm involved in this and I just don't feel good about it. I need to ask you, well, hello? God's already talked to you. Okay, you've already picked up the phone. You've already dialed into heaven. God's already moved on you through the spiritual man, through the born again man, and God's talking to you and you're calling me and you're saying, now, Pastor, I don't think I should do this. Well, dummy, you shouldn't do it. Hello? Anybody know what I'm talking about? How many's ever got a blister before in your life? I have. It was funny. We were fishing, and Brother Miguel Martin, he told me, he said, Pastor, you got to get a new story. And the story was, this finger here, when we went deep sea fishing, one of those big old hooks, we had a big old weight on the bottom, and I was trying to put the bait on it, but the weight fell, and the hook just dug in. Ooh, it was right. And I was like, ah! And I wish I could have said, thank you, Jesus, that felt good. It really hurt. So anyways, I got that off and it was bleeding and all that. But the next one, I didn't realize until about an hour into it, Brother Roy, you would drop your line. You know, that weight would, you know, bring it all down. But you leave your thumb on the fishing line and it just, so for about an hour, I just put my thumb there and I got a blister. And I don't know if anybody else got a blister, but I mean, we fished for like 4 or 5 hours. And so I looked at it and I did something I should have never done. I just, okay, dumb move number one, took it off. Dumb move number two is I had to keep fishing. Ow! You know what I'm saying? Hello, Houston, we have a problem. So my fishing adventure kind of cut short, Brother Mendez. But there's something happens, though. After the blister's gone, then all of a sudden another new skin comes and it gets harder than the first skin. And then all of a sudden in time, if we keep working, Brother Ray, we get what we call, as someone said it, a callus. Right? The callus comes in. And now I don't even feel it sometimes. But you know what I'm talking about? So why are you saying that, Pastor? Because I'm telling you, God speaks to you. Through now you've got the natural and the spiritual man that's warring. It's the battle that never ends. And it'll never end until we pass from this earth. Apostle Paul, the one that did so many great miracles and signs and wonders, he said, I got to die daily. There was a thorn in his flesh that 3 times he came to the Lord and says, Lord, take away this thorn. What Jesus say? My grace is sufficient for thee. I wish God would take away all temptation, all the bad stuff, all the bad thoughts. You know what I'm talking about? But he doesn't do that. Because he doesn't want robots. He wants people that'll say, you know what? I'm born again and I'm cutting off the works of the flesh. I'm not going to follow after the natural man. I'm going to follow after the spiritual man. And so there's sometimes God will talk to you and tell you, you shouldn't do this and you shouldn't do that. And I need you to cut this out. And I need, you know what I'm talking about? And if we're not careful, if we stop listening to that voice, we now are developing calluses to where we used to hear the voice and we used to get convicted. Now we have a choice to either listen to the spiritual man or turn the spiritual man off and listen to the flesh. Because I'm going to tell you, the flesh likes the easy road. The flesh does not like sacrifice. The flesh does not like 5 a.m. prayer. The flesh does not like missing a meal. The flesh does not like fasting. You try it. The minute you say, I'm going to fast today, or I'm going to fast this week, and all of a sudden, every sense in your body is like, whoa! You're smelling hot, fresh cookies. You're smelling chicken. You're smelling enchiladas. You're smelling cheeseburgers. You're smelling bacon. And you're like, ah, I just told God I'm going to fast. There is, the Bible says in Galatians 5:17, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. The flesh does not like the spirit. Romans 8:12 says it like this. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall what? Ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall what? You shall live. Romans 6 says it this way. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Romans 6:18 says it, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to the uncleanness and to the iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteous unto holiness. Every man, every born again man has a choice. He can live in the old nature after the flesh and become a carnal man, or he can live after the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 3, let me read this. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but unto as carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Can I tell you, there are babies. How many likes to eat a good old T-bone steak or a good ribeye or a good filet mignon or whatever it is? You'd like to dig into that. I mean, you know, just cut into it. Somebody likes it rare. Some like it medium. Whatever your taste buds like, we could dive into that, right? But that newborn baby right there that they're holding, there is no way that that boy could eat a T-bone right now. It would T-bone him. It would devour him, right? When you become a babe in Christ, you can't handle steak. And that's what he was talking about. He said, right now, I couldn't speak unto you spiritual because you couldn't hear it. I had to speak unto you as carnal, as babes in Christ. Paul said, I fed you with milk and not with T-bones. For hitherto you are not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. What happened? These babies never grew up. Thank God for your child. Thank God for your boy. Okay? One of the worst things that I hated doing in my early fatherhood duties was change diapers. I could never understand how a small thing could produce a big thing. That could make me literally dry heave. to the fact that I tried three or four times and it just, you know what I'm saying? Worst thing about it. Thank God, Trisha no longer wears diapers. Thank God, you don't wear diapers anymore. We love the babies, but we don't want them to always be a baby. We want them to grow up. Because if they're a baby the whole time, we're not going to like it. Lack of sleep, lack of attention with one another, because we are focused on the baby. And thank God for babies. We've got to have babies. But at one part, they've got to be able to change from a baby, and they've got to start growing. And the problem that Paul was dealing with the Corinthian church, they didn't want to grow. They liked being born again. They liked Sunday night. They liked revival. They liked to run. But they didn't like sacrifice. They didn't like fasting. They didn't like mortifying the deeds of the body. They just were Sunday night hallelujahs, free spirits. And Paul said, you're yet carnal. And here's the interesting part. It's God can fill you with the Holy Ghost. God can forgive you. God can baptize you. You could go down an old man, come up a new man, and God could wash away that old natural man and the works of the flesh and fill you with the gift of the Holy Ghost. But the problem is you're still in the flesh. And if you don't deal with your flesh, and you don't make your flesh understand that the flesh is no longer ruling your life, because the flesh will say, you know what? It's Wednesday night. I'm going to make an exception. I'm not coming to church. You know, it's Sunday morning. Man, I had a late night Saturday night. I just don't feel like going to church. You know, man, I want to go on vacation. I want to do this. I just don't feel like bringing my tithe today. I don't feel like giving offering today. I don't feel like worship. You know what I'm saying? If you'll listen to your flesh will dictate what you do and what you don't do. A lot of you become every new year of the years, everybody makes new year resolutions. I'm going to lose weight and I'm going to join a gym. And gym memberships, it has been notated that membership rises in January. And January and February are the busiest months in the gym. But come March, April, May, June, July, they're no longer there and there's dust on the equipment. You're looking at a guy that I have good intentions. I always tell my wife, I said, babe, I'm gonna be better. I'm gonna be good. I'm gonna eat right. I'm going to start running. I'm joining the gym. We've been in Tulare for 21 years. I don't know how many times I've joined the gym. Join it, cancel, join it, cancel. I have probably paid 8 years. It's probably more than that. I've probably had 8 years of gym membership. And if I was honest with myself, I'd probably use it for 30 days. And you pay that bill. And so we're like, well, Pastor, I'd never do that. Well, I did. And I shelled out $70 a month on trying to do my best. But the problem was this old boy at 6 o'clock in the morning or 5 in the morning, whenever I wanted to work out, I'd like, I'm just going to miss today. And I set an exception. And then that exception leads to another exception. And then it becomes easier to miss. Same thing with church. I'm going to miss a service. I've got this to do and that to do. And you know what I'm talking about? And the things of God. You know, outreach is great. But I'm just going to miss this outreach. I'm just going to miss this event. And I know it's work day. But I'm just, and you start missing. You start making exception to now. You have no idea how you've drifted all this way. I've got a news flash for you. It wasn't the spiritual man ruling your life. It was the natural man. And you didn't push down the natural man. And if you're not careful in that natural state, in that carnal state, here's what you begin to notice. Envies, strife, divisions. Paul said, and one another, I'm Paul, but are ye not carnal? You were babes. You started out great. So, Pastor, what do we do? I'm telling you again that if the carnal man is not in, if you don't push down that carnal man and that spiritual man does not reign in your life, then that carnal man will take over. And again, the calluses will begin to form. And then you'll no longer feel and be able to discern between good and evil. Right and wrong, because all I've done is made exceptions for the flesh. And the Bible talks about it becoming the old man, and the new nature has now kind of gone away, and the reprobate man rises. The new nature is now dead. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says this, examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. 2 Peter 2:19, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse than them from the beginning. Meaning the things that you prayed, I'm going to hurry up, but the things that you prayed, God, if you'll get me out of this, I'll never do it again. If you'll come through now, you could count on me. But you've understood that cycle of the old nature, that cycle of the old man, that cycle of the works of the flesh, it just keeps rolling on because you haven't really dealt with it. You haven't dealt with you. And we blame it on kids. We blame it on spouse. We blame it on finances. But you can't blame it on anybody else but you. You got to look at yourself in the mirror and you've got to make a declaration in the spirit. And that declaration in the spirit is, you know what? Flesh, you know what, Grogan? It doesn't matter. Anyone of your family, if they don't want to live for God, if they don't want to go to church, Grogan, you're going to church. If they don't want to pray, Grogan, you're praying. If they don't want to fast, Grogan, you're fasting. If they don't want to pay your tithe, Grogan, you're paying your tithe. If they don't want to worship, Grogan, you got to get your spirit, begin to rise up and let your flesh get in check. And make up your mind. I don't care who goes. I don't care who stays. I'm going to live for God. And when you make up your mind, it no longer becomes pastor's religion. It no longer becomes mom and dad's religion, but it becomes your religion. And when you push down that natural man and the works of the flesh, then all of a sudden that reprobate man is gone. Can I tell you, every one of you have the power to break the curse. You really do. You can't blame it on anybody else. Because right now, that's why the Bible says work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Let me ask you this. How many of you can change your spouse? No. How many of you can change your kids? No. Don't you rule your home? Well, we try. We lay down on the law, right? Well, come on. Bible says, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. Well, hello. Let's focus on you first, because I believe somewhere in the Bible it says husbands love your wives, even as Christ has loved the church. How did Christ love the church? He gave his life for it. He forgave for it. Husbands, love your wives. Husbands, die out. Spouses, wives, love your husbands. Work it out. Let that natural man know he's not going to reign in your life anymore. I'm tired of being a baby. I'm tired of making exceptions. I want to break the curse. I want to be free. Brother Ramos, would you come? I'm going to tell you, every one of us has the power to break down that natural man and make up your mind, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I can't make up Tristan's mind for him, but I can tell him he's coming to church when we come to church. I can't make his decision, though, to live for God, but I can say, hey, buddy, when you're under my roof, you're going to be respectful and you're going to do the things of God. But I can't really make him pray. I want him to pray. But here's a 411. If I don't pray, I should never expect him to pray. And if I don't live this life, I should never expect him to live this life. I want my wife to love me. I want my wife to respect me. I want my wife to honor me. But I've got to respect her and I've got to honor her. With the same measure, with what you give out, it's going to come back to you. If you don't give out love, you're not going to get love. If you don't give out mercy, you're not going to get mercy. And if you don't give out forgiveness, you're not going to get it back. You say, Pastor, they don't deserve to be forgiven. You're probably right. But you deserve to be free. Don't let that natural man get bound up inside because of the deeds of other carnal individuals. Because in reality, it's not really them. It's a spirit. The spirit of the natural man. And you got to make up your mind. I may have a crazy uncle, but he's not going to dictate to me what I do or what I don't do. I'm going to live for God. They may want to drink, cuss, party, steal, and all of that, but I don't do that. I remember when my kids were little, Brother Reuben, 8:30 at night, Grogan's rule, kids in bed. 8:30. Sun's still out at 8:30. And I remember Tristan, it was either Tristan or Brooklyn, but they'd say, Dad, it's still light out. And I'd say, so? You going to bed. And then they said, yeah, but they get to stay out late. They don't have a curfew. I said, well, you're a Grogan. You're my boy. And I could care less what they do. You're under my house. You going to bed. I made rules, still have rules. And sometimes he understands. Sometimes he doesn't understand. But Daddy's trying my best to break down the carnal man and to raise up a spiritual man. You could change the climate in your home by saying, you know what? Natural man ain't living here no more. Carnal man ain't abiding here anymore. I know I have cursed of my past generation, and I know my mom and dad had made a mess in my life, but I'm breaking it up right now. I've had people that have talked about me. I've had things that have come my way that hasn't been good. I'm going to tell you, it's hurt, but I'm going to break it tonight, and I'm going to let the spiritual man rise. And I'm going to say, God, I don't have strength. But you're going to have to give me strength. And there are times that you're going to have to just cripple into church and you're not going to feel good. And I'm going to tell you who blesses my heart almost every time. And I'm closing with this. But Sister Del Toro blesses me every time I see her on a Wednesday, because Wednesday nights are chemo nights. And her strength is gone. And yet every time I seen her, she came to me 2 times today before service, barely able to come to me. And she says, Pastor, I got some checks in the mail. Pastor, God's been good to me. I'm going to tell you, it's a spiritual woman that's arising in that body. That flesh will say, you have no reason to worship. You have no reason to love God. But the spiritual man says, flesh, you don't know what you're talking about. Hallelujah. It's like Job. Woman, hallelujah, I will never curse God and die, because God gives and God takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm telling you, we've got to get it into our spirits that the carnal man has got to go down and the spiritual man has got to rise. Stand to your feet with me tonight and raise your hands and raise your voice and say, God, help me. Let my spiritual man rise. Help my spiritual man wake up from its slumber. Let my spiritual man now set the tones of how I live, how I act, how I dress, how I walk. Let the carnal man die and let the spiritual man reign in my life. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, would you lift your voice with me tonight? God, I don't have much, but what I have, God, I give it to you. I want to turn some things around, God. I want to be a man that you're pleased in. You could count on me, God, to pray when nobody else wants to pray. You can wake me up in the wee hours of the night, and I'll pray for my family. I'll pray for my children. I'll pray for my spouse. I'll pray for my family members. I'll pray for my coworkers. God, whatever you want me to do, I'm going to give it to you, because the spiritual man is going to rise. It's going to rise from the dust. It's going to rise from the ashes. In the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord. I think it'd be good. We've got a few minutes. Why don't we just kind of gather up the front of these altars? Why don't we just raise our hands? And why don't we make declarations tonight that, God, I can't control the past. I can't control yesterday. But God, today, I'm asking, God, that you'd help me. Help me to be better. Help me, God, to be faithful. Help me to put you first. Help me to seek ye first the kingdom of God. Not my kingdom, not my ideas, not my opinions. But God, let me seek your kingdom. Let me seek your will. Let me seek your purpose. Help me, God. Give me the strength I need to stand on your word. Help me, God, to trust in you with every fiber of my being. Let my spiritual man arise tonight. In the name of the Lord. Oh, I love you today, God. I love you today, God. Worship you. Worship you. Worship you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, make a declaration. I'm turning my home into a spiritual home. My kids are going to hear me pray. My kids are going to know what I believe. We're going to let Jesus reign in our home. Reign in our voices. Reign in our bodies. We're going to talk about him. We're going to spread him around everywhere we go. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Why don't you reach over and lay your hand on that person next to you. Why don't you just pray for them? God, help them. God, give them strength. Let them push down the works of the flesh and let them raise up the works of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Let angels encamp round about them. What they put their hand to do, God, let it prosper. Let the favor and the anointing of you, let it rest on them. Let them be blessed going in and let them be blessed going out. Our whole family saved, walking with you, perfect health and abundance, to walk in the divine favor and blessings of you. In the name of Jesus. We love you today. We love you today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We can do it. It's not impossible. And I'm going to tell you, forget about trying to run as fast as you can. This is not ran to the swiftest or the fastest, but it's the one to the endures unto the end. It's one step at a time. If you make a mistake, get back up. Bible says, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, for when I fall, I shall arise. So quit focusing on the things you've messed up and start focusing on the small things. God, you're going to help me today. God, you're going to bless me today. God, you're going to help me to be faithful. Because if I can get me right, then I can help others. And I'm praying that not only will we be right, but then we would start helping others and we start filling our pew. But you today have got to make a declaration, God, things are changing in me. And I'm letting the spiritual man reign in my life. If that's how you feel, clap your hands unto the Lord tonight. Amen. Find two or three people. Love on somebody and let them know that the spiritual man is going to reign in your life. God bless you.